In today's 18th episode of the Sports and Psychology Podcast, we have an interview with former MLS player Tony Rocha, winner of the MLS Cup in 2021, former national player for the Belize national team, and now entrepreneur, co-founder of the Be More Agency, helping athletes really improve their branding, get out there on social media, and improve their presence so that they can get the kind of recognition that they deserve. So if you're interested in what the life of a former MLS star is in sports psychology or in the post-career career of a professional athlete, then you're right where you want to be. Hello, buenos dias, dobri den, ohayo gozaimasu. Welcome to the Sports and Psychology Podcast, your weekly pod where we talk all things athletes, tactics, performance, and most importantly, mindset. I am your host, letting them three balls fly, Cord Thomas. I'm a mindset coach specializing in sports psychology, performance, stress, and anxiety reduction, and mental preparation, having helped hundreds of clients and tens of professional athletes exceed their potential, reach their goals, and lead fulfilling lives. After becoming a two-time Junior Olympic Taekwondo medalist and moving from the US to Europe to study and play basketball, I found my passion in the psychology of success. Before we hop into things, do me a favor, hit that follow button below the video or the pod to get updates on new episodes and to help me help the pod get out there. And if you're here with me on YouTube, hit me with that like and comment, please. Thank you for making the Sports and Psychology Pod your first morning listen. If you want to reach out and connect with me or join in our mailbag episode, you can find me on Instagram at athlete.m1ndset, Twitter athlete.m1ndset, or email me at sportsandpsychologypod@gmail.com. In today's show, we have that interview with Tony Rocha. I'm psyched. This was fantastic, y'all. Really listen in closely to some of the gems that he and I are both dropping. Really good, really nice, full of value. We're talking about career stuff in career for the athlete. We're talking about after career. We're talking about moving really recently into the post-career stuff and some of the things that Tony's working on struggling with. What it's like being in a completely new position outside of sports, what some of the things he's struggling with there. Also, obviously, there is a lot of value in Tony's level of leadership, talking about focus, talking about staying in the game, and some of his tactics, tricks, and techniques that he uses still today from his playing days. Love it. And make sure to follow Tony Rocha as well. That's T.Rocha, R-O-C-H-A, 1616 on Instagram, Tony Rocha 16 on Twitter, or just find him on LinkedIn, Tony Rocha. Make sure to connect, make sure to follow him, and keep up with his content, or you can also find him at Be More Agency on Instagram as well. We're hopping in. So, Tony Rocha, welcome to the Sports and Psychology Pod. Thanks for being here with me. Very honored to have someone with your kind of experience on the pod. That's an awesome thing for me. And thank you for taking the time. So, and let me give a quick bio on Tony. So, drafted by the Sporting Kansas City in the 2015 MLS Super Draft, and then played for Orlando City B and Orlando City, and then was traded to New York City's team and won the Cup in 2021, and then was and then played for Orange County SC before retiring last year. Am I saying that
well,
right?
Well, this is a couple months ago.
A few months ago, brand new. And also a player on the Belize national football team as well.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. So thanks for being here. Anything else? Oh, hold on. I want to add that also now co-founder of Be More Agency. So I do want to give you space to talk about that, what that's been. But first of all, anything else you want to add to that bio?
I think you got everything correctly. Yeah, that's been my entire playing career. So.
Awesome.
You got it.
And before that, where were you at before your playing career? Was that university? Was that school teams?
What was that
club? Yeah, I played at University of Tulsa in Oklahoma. So went to university there for 4 years and then graduated by Kansas City.
Fantastic. So when did you move to the U.S. or did you grow up in the U.S.? Like, I saw Belize national team, so I was assuming that you spent some time there as well.
Yeah, so I was born in Texas in the U.S. And I was able to get citizenship because my mom was born in Belize and she moved to the U.S. in the 1980s. So she's been here and then, and so that's how I was able to get citizenship.
Awesome. So you're born and raised American.
Yep.
Fantastic. All right. So what has it been, just quickly, like you said you retired a few months ago. What has that been like?
Yeah, it's been tough. I'm now seeing, like, I still follow a lot of my friends and teammates on social media. So they're posting stuff about preseason and season. So that's normally what my life has been after college. That's all I've known. So it's tough, kind of this new chapter in my life. But I mean, I'm excited for it. Like you said, co-founder of a Be More agency. So that's taken up most of my time. And I'm excited to get that kind of started and going.
Amazing. And I appreciate the fact that you're saying it's been tough, and it's tough to see some of those teammates, people you've been playing with, getting ramping up for the season. Is there somewhere still an itch to get back to it? You know?
Yeah, for sure. I think if it was the right opportunity that came along probably during my off season, then I definitely would have still continued to play. But I think at this point in my career, I don't want to just go to a random city and play and kind of be on that grind again. So
makes sense.
I mean, yeah.
And probably moving to a different country, et cetera, a different city isn't in the question at the moment.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was saying if I was younger, if I was just starting my career, then it would definitely be something that I would be open to, but not now.
Absolutely. When did you start getting this project with the Be More agency going?
It was probably this offseason, kind of figuring out what I was doing next, because I had in my mind kind of thinking that I was going to retire. So just trying to figure out what I was doing next. And so it was just conversations that I had with my friends, the other two co-founders that started the company with. And it was just like, this is, I guess, an opportunity, something I struggled with when I was playing. There's definitely an opportunity there for other athletes to kind of have the opportunity to brand themselves. So
absolutely. And since you've touched on it, what you're mainly working on is branding?
Yeah, it's both building branding on and off the field for athletes. So I think for my example, as I started a nutrition coaching company during the pandemic in 2020, and I didn't feel like there was an opportunity for me to grow and to like kind of use my professional soccer player brand to help grow that. There wasn't, I guess, many companies out there wanting to work with soccer players, and then maybe someone who wasn't playing a lot and maybe didn't have that exposure. So I struggled with that. And so my thought process was, all right, well, there's definitely other guys out there that have hobbies, side passions, like maybe other businesses that they've done on the side, but they just need help growing it. And the way to do that is to help build their brand personally on the field, take advantage of that while they're playing, and then use that to help introduce their company or hobbies or anything. And that could lead to sponsorship deals, to jobs after they're done playing. Like, there's many opportunities that can lead from learning to build your brand.
I love that. And personal branding is something that's very much talked about, even from a company point of view, in today's social media era, where a person needs ideally a personal brand. So that's definitely needed. And on the other side, like from the psychological side of things, having support with a dual career, like we're always talking about, how do we get athletes to focus on their career and in their free time focus on that side hustle or their future, because their playing career unfortunately isn't going to last forever. And so I love that this kind of combines both of those things. And probably, could you have imagined working, well, you were, so during COVID you were coaching and things while you were playing. Did it help to kind of balance things out?
It definitely did. I guess it helped with time management as well, knowing that I had kind of not that much time on my hands and then trying to build like a full side business. But it also helped because I learned so much about business and like the entrepreneurial space and everything. So it was a lot of fun along the way.
I think working the brain in a different way, getting out of the grind of the sport and constantly working the body and really, working that mental side of things can also really help on the field or on the court, depending on the sport a person's playing as well. I think Chris Bosch was the one who wrote that he tries to during his playing career, he was trying to read a book a week still, like his entire 15 years or however long he played. And no, love that. Awesome. All right, let's hop into some of these questions I have for you. So you've been since university, like since from what I could read, like your freshman year, you were a leader on the field. What is kind of your approach to leadership, being a player, now being a founder of a company? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, well, I guess I could say I'm not like a traditional leader in that sense. I was more of an introvert in school, especially. So I think maybe the way I was able to lead is just my performance on the field and my work rate and stuff. But I think the more I started playing and becoming like more of a veteran in the locker room, the vocal aspect of a leader came out, knowing that these younger guys are maybe looking up to all the guys and stuff. So maybe stepping out of my comfort zone and being more vocal is kind of what I learned along the way. But with that being said, like there's definitely more aspects or different aspects of being a leader. Like even if you're not a vocal leader, you can be a leader by example and stuff. So maybe if that's not you and you don't really want to speak that much in the locker room, maybe just leading by example could be the way you can show your leadership.
Absolutely. And I love that answer. Like there are quiet leaders for sure. And I think oftentimes it does take experience to be able to use that voice. From the US myself, I find it more normal to stay engaged in games. Whereas here in Europe, I find people, if they're not playing or, you know, basketball, they check out for a while. Hockey, they check out for a while. They're analyzing themselves or they're chatting with their buddy next to them instead of staying engaged in games. Is that something that you were able to do, is like stay engaged, even maybe some days you weren't playing?
Yeah, because as well as like if I'm sitting on the bench, like you check in at any moment and it's like, depending on what opponent you're playing, there you can see what weaknesses they have or like where kind of the strengths that we have going into it, like what we can exploit. And if it's I'm checking in the middle field or right wing, and that's like an opportunity against the other team, like I have to be ready for it. So if I'm 100%. Checked out on the side of the field, then I'm not really going to go on there and perform.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think especially with football, that's accurate with soccer. But I think it's an underestimated piece where a part of leadership is being engaged before, during, and ideally after the game, talking through things, being there with teammates, especially for the quiet people, like be socially engaged as well. Game's over,
I'm heading home. That's the difference just like between the levels, you know?
Yeah.
It's just that ability to stay focused 90 minutes out of the game. That 1 or 2 minutes you switch off, it could be like costing a goal or like you missing up for an opportunity or whatever it is. So
any tips, secrets you would want to share on staying focused?
That's a good question. I guess for me, it was just having that like same focus during training, just having that and kind of doing that on a daily basis. It's more like when the game comes, you don't really have to turn it on or turn it off. It's more just like a muscle that you've been preparing for. So it's readily available. Like you don't really have to think about focusing. It just happens.
100%. Focusing is a muscle. Love that. Love that. I tell that to clients all the time. It's something you can work on. It's something you can build. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Awesome answer. So did you ever function in Spanish as well? I'm guessing with the Belize team you did. Was it a tough transition to like function in two languages almost or?
So it's funny because Belize is actually the only Central American team or country where English is their primary language.
Okay. So, you're teaching me something here. Awesome.
So down there, they speak Creole, but it's like English Creole. So it was an easy transition because like I could speak the same language as them and stuff. Like obviously people down there speak Spanish, but primarily English. Yeah.
Okay. So you functioned your whole playing career in English then?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. See, I'm learning things here. You've taken a lot from the pitch, I'm guessing, in your playing career. How has that or what are some of the things that have prepared you now for your post-playing career?
I think a big one is discipline, work rate, work ethic. Those are probably two big ones. And I know discipline's a huge one just because you have to work out during the offseason. You have to worry about what you eat during season, even during offseason. Like there's so many things that you do or you have to like do as a professional athlete that not other people, I guess, really see or understand. Like if you're out with friends and they're grabbing a burger or something, it's like, I can't do this. I have to eat this healthy because I know it's going to help me perform the next day during training. And just those little things that you kind of work on, like self-discipline, that now helps me with be more agency. So it's like now I have things scheduled. And now it's like when I'm preparing for for the week, just like discipline and showing up and knowing the work I have to get done and everything. So I think those things definitely translate to off the field.
100%. I think athletes a lot of times underestimate all the skills they've gained from the years of drill and being on time, coming to places early, the prep work in advance.
Yeah.
Those are all amazing skills. You don't go into a game not having any training, not knowing what the plays are. And it's the same thing then with a business meeting. I'm going into it prepared because I practiced.
Yeah, exactly.
So I love that. And I appreciate the self-awareness or the ability to kind of reflect on that and say, yes, I'm taking that and using it.
Yeah. It's one of the strengths that we have as professional athletes. We'd maybe not have the experience of sales or advertising, whatever it is, but we can take what we learn as a professional athlete and transition.
And someone who's dedicated and knows how to plan and knows how to prepare well can learn anything and everything else if they want to.
Absolutely.
Amazing. All right. Moving on, let's talk more about Be More. Are you looking to work directly with other professional athletes, college athletes? Like, what level are you? Is that target audience like?
Yeah, right now it's just athletes. I've reached out to just soccer, professional soccer players, just because that's kind of where my network's at. But I guess the overall long-term picture of it is athletes of all levels of college, professional soccer, or professional football, just any sport with that. And even just like I said, the small businesses that they may be starting. So that's the main focus right now. Yeah.
Do you feel the sports, the team sports where there's a lot more players on the field or court or what have you, do you feel like it's more difficult for these players to stand out? Like from a branding or marketing basis?
With more players on the field? What do you mean?
I mean, I'm at home in two places, maybe three here in the Czech Republic, basketball, martial arts, and hockey. I work with quite a few hockey players here. When there's less people playing at one time, it seems like it's easier for these people to stand out than to create a name because there's more action in which they're involved is maybe how I would put it. More attention to the individual, maybe their style.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, I would think so. It's just like on a soccer team, there's 11 players. Maybe you're the eighth best player on the team. I mean, you're not really getting much coverage from like cameras or getting talks or like interviews after the game with teams and stuff. So you're not really getting promoted that way. So I think it's definitely tougher than if you're like doing martial arts, like you said, and it's like just you or like it's golf or something. And that's kind of up to you and you have kind of like your own brand. In that sense.
Or you know, even basketball, there's five people out there at a time and they're playing a few minutes at a time. So there's more action happening. It's a bit faster just in terms of sharing the ball.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, good. So because you had mentioned soccer and football, that's something that American football, obviously, that's something that came to mind. Probably not a lot of linemen getting much coverage.
Not at all. Yeah.
Good. So is part of the branding side like getting opportunities, like media opportunities as well? Or like what are you focusing on mainly with in terms of the branding? Are they websites? Like talk to me more about the details there.
It would be more of just building their social media.
Okay.
So it would be like the Instagram, the TikToks, maybe even YouTube shorts, just depending on what they want to, I guess it's individualized. So whatever they think or what they like, what platforms they want to use and stuff. And then, if it's something that they want to build a website, then we can definitely do that for them. But like I said, that the end goal is kind of to set them up for partnership deals, for brand sponsorships, for maybe even jobs after they're done playing or stuff like that. So that's kind of what we want to help the athletes with.
I love that. It's unbelievable to me the amount of athletes out there and great athletes, like national level athletes with a few hundred followers. And I'm going, so what's wrong here? What's wrong with this picture? So that's amazing that you're kind of filling that gap for a lot of people. I love this question. Where do you see your personal and professional growth leading in the upcoming months or rest of the year? What are you working on in like for yourself?
Personally, I guess has been kind of just getting uncomfortable in like the business sense. Cause like I said, this is my first year not playing professional sports. And so it's now strictly focused on business. So there's definitely a lot of arenas that I'm maybe new to. And so it's like kind of knowing that I'm going to be no longer a professional in like this sense. So it's kind of being that vulnerable person and maybe asking questions or not knowing things, or so that's definitely something that over the next few months and even the year I'm gonna have to work on and be like, all right, well, maybe I don't know as much as the next person or this and that, but just putting myself out there.
That makes sense. You're stepping into, in many ways, a new arena, so asking questions is a good thing. My recommendation usually to clients when they're starting at a new company, because that was my experience back when I worked at a corporation, we gave people 3 months before we expected them to create value.
Okay.
3 months. And that's quite a long time and plenty of space to ask questions, to make mistakes, et cetera, and to really get into the flow of things. And when I say create value, I don't mean 100%. We're more talking like, okay, 50% of what they're going to be in a year or 2 years. Trying to get comfortable with being uncomfortable in the sense that you're not the leader on the field anymore. are in the company somehow, but learning to be a new guy again.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. How are you dealing with that, what I would call the physical balance, in terms of like, now you're obviously using a lot more of your mind, a lot more of the mental effort. Are you still doing workouts and things, going to the gym?
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to. I'm trying to get in that routine of figuring out how many days a week I can work out and kind of feel that I'm like staying fit or getting fit. Because I mean, as a pro athlete, you're doing that as your job on a daily basis and stuff. And then you stop doing it. It's like, all right, well, I don't need to be doing that much that I was doing before. Where's the balance there? So I'm still kind of in that phase right now, just trying to figure out how much I'm going to work out, when I'm going to work out, and kind of that frequency.
That makes sense. And the workouts can kind of change at this point. There doesn't need to be such a focus on cardio anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't have to be as intense. Like I can go on a walk or a run for 30 minutes and be like, all right, that's a good workout for today.
For sure. I mean, if we're talking about trying to get that stress out, then you want something a bit more. But for sure, there's an opportunity to change things up there. Okay, so let's talk psychology quickly before you have to run. Did you have a sports psychologist in your teams? Have you ever worked with a psychologist or coach? And how have those experiences been, if you did?
So no, I haven't had one on my team. And I think that's one thing that's missing. I think that's one thing that maybe the MLS is trying to do a little bit better at doing. But I guess most of like the psychology that I maybe like picked up or tried to focus on, I just like looked up on my own or like read books about it and stuff. So because I know like the mind is an amazing thing. So learning how to kind of train it is very important.
I like that. Trying to get what resources you can, absolutely. I mean, an in-person conversation is never going to be replaced by a book, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of value in the reflection piece of it, in therapy, coaching, et cetera, where a person, if we're forced to talk about ourselves in ways that we're not used to, and we're asked questions that we're not used to getting, it's going to force us to reflect and grow and learn more about ourselves. So learning about it in books, yes. Actually experiencing it, even better. Did you see guys struggling with the mental health side of things? Like throughout your career, was that something you saw that they needed help and that resource wasn't there?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I saw was just from lack of performances or maybe like getting benched and not playing, and that psychological thing. Just it can either go one of two ways. One, it could be like, all right, well, I'm going to go out there and just continue to work hard and show that I deserve to be on the field, or it can just like completely destroy someone and they go and they like, all right, well, I know I'm good for this team, but like F this coach or whatever it is. And then their attitude goes one way and then they end up leaving the team and their career goes down the drain. So it just depends on, I guess, what way you want to take it.
Absolutely. Mindset is huge in that. And one thing we're not mentioning is family issues. If you have a wife and kids and the wife decides to take the kids, what's that going to do with your playing career?
Yeah.
I mean, some people will focus more for a while, but it's going to be a major weight. So that's really interesting for me to hear and kind of shocking. Like, to me, every professional sports team, at least the professional sports teams should have someone they're working with. That's surprising. Thank you for that feedback. Was there a time you didn't have the kind of like psychological support you needed and wanted? And what was maybe a tactic or technique you used to kind of bridge the gap? What helped you get through maybe some of those tougher times?
I'll say for me, maybe I was like lucky enough to have the support system from like the start. I know my mom was a huge person I could lean on and just kind of talk to her about things going on during soccer. And also my faith, like that's one thing I'm able to lean on a daily basis and kind of help me grow through that psychology aspect of the game. And so those were always there for me whenever I needed them.
I love that. I think that's, I mean, I live here in Prague. The Czech Republic is the least religious country in the world. not joking. 13% of people claim that they are religious. And it's an aspect that is, I think, underappreciated in a lot of ways. I really do think religion can help bridge the gap, especially if it's one where you're encouraged to speak openly about things and kind of open up on this is what I'm struggling with and I need to borrow some strength from somewhere. I appreciate that. My last question, talk to me about some mental, psychological tactic, technique you have used that has helped you in your playing days, maybe that you still use today.
So I have to give credit to one of my teammates for this. I lived with, his name's Mason Steidehar, and in the morning I'd wake up and then I would just hear him in his room saying, I'm the best keeper. I'm going to be the number one keeper. I'm the best on the field. And so I just asked him about it. I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, well, I'm just visualizing, like I'm manifesting, and I know my actions are going to follow my words, and I'm just keeping that same mindset on a daily basis. And from then I was like, all right, well, I'm going to try it. Like I know I deserve to be here. I'm a MLS player. I'm this. And I just kept on myself on a daily basis that kind of just reinforced those thoughts in my mind. And that's something that helped after I left Orlando and have like continue with it in New York and stuff. And I still do that to this day, whatever it is, like with the business, or if it's something that I'm like, all right, maybe doubting here. It's like, no, I worked hard for this. Like I've prepared for this. I know I deserve to be here, and kind of just that mindset.
And do you say those things in the mirror?
Not in the mirror. That's something I don't do. It's kind of just like a quiet time that I'll do in the morning whenever I'm doing like my parents stuff and just repeat those.
So psychological term for it, like manifestation is used, but affirmations, 100%.
That's the word I was looking for. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. I think affirmations are fantastic, especially once you're at a point where you do have that self-confidence somewhere inside. And it's just, I need to take myself and move my self-belief, remove some of that self-doubt and really center myself in being this person. Not only do I know that I am this person, but I feel like I am this person. Affirmations for that are fantastic. And that's a great comment. Share with your teammates. If you're true. Doing something and it works for you and you want to help to make your team better, share with your teammates. They might end up using it for the rest of their lives, just like Tony does. That's awesome.
I mean, I even told him that from the beginning. I was like, look, where I'm at in my career probably wouldn't happen if like you didn't kind of tell me what you like would help you and everything. Because I noticed that from the start, it was like he wasn't getting much play time. He was probably third string goalkeeper. But he still had that mindset. And now he's like the backup for Orlando City, still has contracts, still in the league. And he can owe it all to like his mindset, to like what he did, the work he put on the field and everything.
That created self-belief in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
Love that. Awesome. Well, Tony, I know you have to get running. I don't want to keep you too long here. But thank you so much for coming on the Sports and Psychology podcast. And as a gift from my side, if you want to accept that, I am offering a free coaching session with me. We can hop into some of those either growth things or psychological side of things, something that could help, some easy techniques. And that would obviously be online, but that's my gift to you for hopping on. And
sounds good.
So I'll look forward to hearing from you on that. We're in contact, and I'm looking forward to this episode coming out. I think it's been great talking to you, and I wish you a great rest of your day and week.
Sweet. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. And definitely DM you.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
All right, y'all. I hope that you've had a great time with me and Tony discussing his career, some awesome questions, what he's working on, what he's struggling with, some of the techniques and tactics that he's learned. why there aren't any sports psychologists, or why there weren't any sports psychologists working with MLS teams. MLS, you got to do better. And that it's not easy for all professional athletes. These people struggle with a lot of things too, and that it's okay to struggle, A. B, it's okay to look for help. Tony's new Be More agency is there for many of you. If you have any other ideas, comments, or just completely disagree with me, make sure you send me an email at sportsandpsychologypod@gmail.com, and I'll definitely respond. I think it's great to know that if we really put ourselves in the right mindset, if we really use that discipline that we've gained from professional sports, we have the ability to achieve whatever it is that we want to in our post-career career. Thank you for listening everywhere you can find podcasts or watching here on YouTube to the Sports and Psychology Podcast with our special guest today, Tony Rocha. Please tell your friends if you liked this podcast. I'm streaming everywhere you can find podcasts as well as on YouTube. If you want to get your questions into a mailbag or give me your thoughts, give me a comment below on YouTube or reach out on Instagram at athlete.m1ndset, Twitter athlete.m1ndset, or email at sportsandpsychologypod@gmail.com. And make sure to follow Tony Rocha as well. That's T.Rocha, R-O-C-H-A, 1616 on Instagram, Tony Rocha 16 on Twitter, or just find him on LinkedIn, Tony Rocha. Make sure to connect, make sure to follow him, and keep up with his content, or you can also find him at Be More Agency on Instagram as well. Do me a favor and hit that like and subscribe button, and make sure to leave that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Don't let today get the best of you, get the best of today. Have a great week, y'all. Talk to you next week.